Welcome to another episode of the Wolkenkicken podcast. Wolkenkicken is a German word meaning sky gazing or cloud gazing, and basically the meaning is doing nothing specifically, doing nothing on purpose, just spending time. And in our case, this means spending time with creative people, having interesting and deep conversations, learning about other people's perspectives and experiences. And today we welcome Adrian to our podcast. Adrian is a very old friend of Sunny's and a documentary filmmaker. He shares a lot of interesting insights from his life and his work. We hope you will enjoy this inspirational conversation as much as we did.
Because all of a sudden I'm getting geeky about, okay, so wait, so who's involved and where's the mic and okay.
So Adrian, yes. No, so we've known each other for so long, and now here you are.
We still look great. I think we look great. I feel great.
And you know, we're both kind of 30 years older, right? So, and we're just at a point where, you know, I wanna know my friend's life mission, like purpose and vision of, you know, what you wanna do or what you're doing, explaining what you're doing to me and to the world.
As soon as I figure that out, I'll be happy to share that with you. At the moment, well,
yeah.
I'm not gonna make this easier for you. Go ahead.
But you mentioned one sentence towards Singer that was interesting. You said, "I just wanted to travel the world and do cool shit." So obviously that was something that got you going.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when my brother and I were little, and we would be on the Croatian coastline in Europe as children, because of our families from there. And I remember we would be jumping and swimming in the ocean and jumping off these rocks. And we would look up, because it's like cliff sides, and you'd see these tour buses come in from Germany and England and America and Canada, Brazil, or wherever, Japan. And you'd see these old gray-haired people kind of hobble out to the cliff side, kind of look around, take a couple of photos, and it's hot, it's summertime in Europe. So then they hobble back into the air-conditioned bus, and I remember thinking to myself, I was 8 or something, 9, and I thought, I will never see the world like that. That is not when I'm going to see the world. And now I'm gray hair. I'm not so gray, but getting there. And yeah, I've seen a lot of the world. I'm extremely fortunate.
In a tour bus, right? I picked you up at the airport many times, and
yes, you
came
have.
From like war zones or wherever you flew to, and you just did. You took your camera, right, and went.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I make choices. You know, there's a lot of times I don't go because I don't believe in the project. I don't believe in the people. I don't feel comfortable. There's something not right. But if it lines up, the answer is always yes. That's the, you know, I have a pretty good sense of what's important to me and what's not important to me. So choices are not that difficult to me because we're lucky, you know, all of us here at this table, most of the people we know are very fortunate, right? We were born in the West. We were born of, you know, decent families. We have decent skills. We have decent resources to us. So we can do anything. We can go anywhere at any time, stay as long as we want, do whatever we like. If we don't like that, we could change. And so for a lot of people, I find they're crippled because there's too many choices. And I can be in that same position, and one of the ways I don't allow that to cripple me, but instead empower me, is I become very clear about what's important to me. And it's, you know, experiences, it's people, it's, am I contributing to the greater good of the world? Am I helping to make myself a better person? Those are the important parameters, and then however that manifests is nearly irrelevant. Whether that happens in LA or happens in Berlin or happens where irrelevant. Whether it's one person, 12 people, whether it's a movie or a writing project or volunteer work is irrelevant. But if it hits those main themes, then the answer is usually yes. And I don't get a lot of those opportunities. I get more than I think most because I look for them. But when that comes up, it's not a difficult decision. And whatever sacrifices you have to make are not. Hmm. They're in service of what you want. So I thought I would do this for a few years out of college. It's been now 3 decades. And it's still in literally every few days, at least every week, I pause and I realize how incredibly fortunate I am to be able to do this. One thing which is funny being at our age in our 50s is I remember when I was in my like 20s and I would meet people our age doing this, you know, like I was volunteering for them or whatever. And I remember they would talk amongst themselves, their peers in their 50s, and they'd say, you know, this is cool, that's cool, but they're like, at least we've got our health. I remember in my 20s, I never thought about my health, right? Because we're invincible, we'll live forever. My God, now I talk to my peers and we're like, this is awesome. Luckily, we got our health. So there's certain markers that I realize, even though, you know, I imagine myself still 20-something, but I do count myself very lucky that both internally and externally, both externally because I'm still physically fit and I can do this, and internally because I'm still curious. It's still, I get a lot out of it. I mean, you know, man, it's actually easier than it used to be. I just think about it. Like 30 years ago, traveling the world, you had no mobile phones, you barely had internet.
Flights were more expensive.
Were more expensive, there were fewer flights, the connections were worse. It was hard to book them, you know, or find out when it is. Like, you know, sometimes I'd have to travel 3 days into a big city, then realize, oh, the flight's not till next week, you know? Whereas then I just get online, and if not from here, from there. Place to stay, you know? Like, I'm just like landing at airports, telling a taxi, take me into the center of town, and then wandering around and looking for a place to stay. Mm-hmm. And I just pull up your phone, Airbnb, a hotel, a hostel, this, that. So it's actually so much easier to travel now, but those are all ancillary. I'm still physically fit enough. I still find great value in it. And I'm still lucky to have opportunities. And so I haven't grown up yet.
Mm-hmm. So the opportunities come to you, or are you actively searching? What do you think? Like, it's more...
I think to really dig down, I'm always searching. You know, there's that old saying, like, I always tell people, it's hard to find what you're looking for if you don't know what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And I don't look for specifics, but I look for these generalizations, people I connect with, projects I believe in, places that interest me. And so I'm always looking for those things. My ears, my eyes, my nose, my smell, my taste, my gut is out looking for those things. So I'm always looking. I surround myself with amazing people, present company, of course. And so I tend to find them more often than not. But yeah, you know, like my brother and I have been lucky with all of our documentaries so far. And I tell people, no one knocked on our door and said, hey, we think you guys are geniuses, you should make this film. Mm. It was we knocking on countless, literally countless doors. Not dozens, not hundreds, not thousands, not 10,000s. Countless doors of one form or another until we got enough series of lucky breaks that we ended up where we ended up. And so I'm always looking. I don't expect anyone to give me anything. You know, all I ever wanted was a break and an opportunity and someone to believe in me. And I found enough of those to construct a really good life. And now it's funny being at this stage in life, you know, I'm somewhere in the middle because I'm still out there, you know, pushing and driving and searching and seeking and trying. But I finally come to the understanding that, yes, I've accomplished a few things. And yes, you know, it's a value to some people. I always think I'm still not worthy. Like, why are they asking me? I don't know anything. I'm just figuring it out. And so it's nice now. Some of the people say, hey, can you come help me with this? Or I'd like your opinion or your advice on that. And so you pass it on because those who gave us the early breaks, they're always a couple steps ahead, you know, like we never catch up to them. And you know, at this stage in life, some of them are dead, right? Because they were old and I'm not young anymore. So you pass it on and you know, it's a cycle of life goes. But yeah, I'm still out there searching, seeking, trying, failing, getting up, doing it again, scratching my head, looking around, dusting myself off, figuring out, you know, what worked, what didn't work, reassess. I mean, But I love that stuff. It's fun. It's endless fun and joy. It's tough and it's dirty and it's disappointing and it's, you know, it's all these negatives. But it's so much fun. And you're always learning. So whether it worked out, and you know, whether it worked out or not, it's always a positive. You figure out something, you learn about yourself, you learn about people around you, or your thought process. My thought process was skewed, you know, that's why I didn't do it. Or, you know, something didn't work out, and I realized, oh, I didn't really want it. Then why did I put myself in that position? Fuck, I'm not sure. And you learn something. And then the next time, you know, because life just moves by. Like, there's no, what's the old term? No fear or favor or something like that. Like, life is impartial. It just moves by. Like, it's, you know, what are we doing? It's, I'm always learning something. And so...
No risk, no fun.
yeah, exactly. Challenge, risk, trying something new. Also, look, yeah, sometimes it doesn't work out. It's fine. I mean, I think that's one of the great things. That's why it's lovely watching you and meeting your kids over their lives is, you know, one of the key things my mom did with my brother and I was, in the reality that we all exist in, which is based on duality, right? You have right and wrong, up and down, good and bad, blah, blah, blah. But so you have successes or failures is one of the dualities. But my mom made the slightest little change in the DNA of that story, where it was successes or lessons.
Nice.
And that changed everything. Because one, we no longer had fear of failure, which is what I've observed is the most crippling thing in my life and in pretty much everyone I've ever met. They have so many opportunities, they have so many skills and talents, but their fear of failure is debilitating. And I am conscious and fight against that in myself every day. So not only did that change the fear dynamic, but it also changed the definition of success. Lessons are successes. So it's win, so it's the proverbial win-win. And so then I take chances and risks, yes, that sometimes they work out or don't work out, yes. But were they a waste of time or were they a failure or a negative? No.
That's good.
And so that was one of the fundamental things. And so that's why I keep going on.
Good mama advice.
Yeah, very fortunate, very fortunate. I mean, she does, my brother and I talked to her about it many years later when our friends started to have kids. And they're like, we want to learn from your mom how you guys were raised, blah, blah. And so my mom, because my mom's answer always is, just love them. Everything will be fine. Just love them. But then underneath that were these kind of ideas that we realized help to shape how we make decisions. And one of the decisions is, do I do it or not? You know, and like I said, most of my invitations to do things, I say no to. Now, I'm very fortunate that I get quite a lot of invitations to do stuff. But even if I had 3 invitations a year, and I felt like 2 I had to say no, I would say no. Because whatever I do, I know that is what I do is not only my legacy, but it is also who I become. Those experiences, what we do, who we do it with, where we do it, that is part of my DNA of my life, and so I'm very cautious about that stuff.
Yeah, and then you leave a space open for other things to come,
yeah.
Right?
That's I don't always clutter with crap. You know, so yeah, because I think. I remember learning this because my brother's an absolutely genius artist, and as you know, he played sports with me. He's pretty good at sports too. I suck at art, but I would go hang out in his art scene. And I remember this one teacher saying, you know, because I'm always looking at what's there, and this one teacher said, look at the negative space. And I thought, what the hell is negative space? I never thought of negative space. And it was a seminal change the way I look at the world around me. It's not just what I'm doing, but what am I not doing? Why am I not doing it? What am I doing when I'm not doing? Am I just cluttering my day with crap? Am I actually just being and being open and letting things come in? And so negative space, or when you're not doing, what are you doing? You know, why are you not doing? Because you're procrastinating or avoiding? Or just like, still want to do. I mean, whatever you do, do it. Mm. If you're doing, do it. If you're not doing, don't do it. Mm. But like, be there. Like, this half-assed shit is just, it's tearing us apart. Mm-hmm. It makes everything meaningless, you know? Like, you know, you're eating, but you want to be exercising because you feel fat. And you're exercising because you just want to eat. And dude, when you eat, eat. When you run, run, you know? Mm.
It probably helps for you to be in an Asian culture, right? Because the Western culture is just so like that. And it's hard to get out of that mindset when you're always in it.
Kind of, but it's fascinating. The 30 years we've been traveling is, I don't even call it Western mindset. I call it the modern mindset. Because the modern mindset is everywhere now. Mm. You go to any big city, I've been to 6 of the 7 continents. Every single big city I'm in, you have this modern mindset. Mm-hmm. People don't have enough time. They don't value their history. They're only looking forward. They have no idea who the hell they are because they're based on their schooling and their job and their car they drive. And so that cancerous modern, like on now modern, not Western mindset is everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whether I'm in Manila or Jakarta or Cape Town or São Paulo or, you know, London, New York, Tokyo, Paris, Hong Kong, Beijing, I mean, how China has changed in the last 30 plus years. So, yeah, unfortunately, that disconnected mindset is everywhere now in the modern world and big cities. So, you know, it's like when I've driven across America a few times by car, and I always take the smallest roads, and I stop as often as I can. And, you know, one of the things I would do is if I saw an interesting person, for whatever reason I was interested in them, their face, how they were standing, whatever, I'll stop and ask them for directions, even though I know exactly where I'm going. It's just to have contact with them. And what I find is that people in the smaller towns, even in America, people say, oh, all Americans are, you know, move too fast and they're, you know, blah blah, not, but in the small towns, oh, people got time for you. Mm. You know, so they'll come walk over, lean on the windowsill of your door, you know, and say, hey, where are you from? You know, like, where are you going? And then, you know, you explain to them where I need to go. And they're like, yeah, but what you doing now? Are you hungry? You want to eat? You know, and I see that in Africa and stuff, but I see that in America. Americans are some friendly, curious people, you know. Once you get out of the cities and people aren't living 3 weeks in the future of their calendar, they're living today, like, yeah, you doing? So I find there's modern living, big city living, and then kind of country living.
Interesting.
And I find that here too. Yeah. But not in the big cities. Well, I do, but it's hard. And I understand it, right? We're adaptable creatures. We adapt to our culture. Mm-hmm. Right? If everyone else is on their phone thinking 3 days ahead, well, we adapt. But, you know, that's why I spend most of my time in the countryside, because I like adapting to that pace. It's a nice, and, you know, I mean, one of the things we learned about in the Happy documentary that my brother and I made was that our senses, our 5 senses, are not designed to sense one thing or even many things. What it's really designed to sense is the change between things. Mm. So it's change that invigorates us. It's not sweet and salty. It's the change from sweet to salty. It's that change that stimulates us. Because if you always have one stimuli, it's done. You become numb to it. And so you know, by going from big cities to small cities, from Western cultures to Eastern cultures, it's that change that's the stimuli. It's not being in Asia like being in New York. So I stimulate that change as much as I can. Mm. And the great thing about being in a place like America, you know, it's amazing being here in Los Angeles. Like, you have all these... And I go to the local grocery stores and stuff like that, and in the small neighborhoods, and the entire world is there. Mm-hmm. I mean, every shade of color, every size, every language and religion, it's right there, just rubbing elbows, you know, saying, excuse me, could you get me that? And, oh, go ahead, you can go in front of me. And after being out for 5 years from America, I thought, I'm going to be here for a few weeks, I'm gone again. I really like this country. I mean, it may wear off in a couple of months and I'd be like, time to go. But for right now, it's fresh and lovely.
Yeah. Oh, it's coming back home somehow, right? It's like, yeah, you can check out, but you can never leave.
Yeah, and it's always going to be part of you, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's funny because when I'm overseas, especially I'm usually in very remote places, so I'm usually the token Westerner or the token American, and like here I'm just totally nondescript, like nobody notices me. It's kind of refreshing, just blend into the tapestry that is American culture and society. That was one question, right? It's a hell of an answer. Okay.
Do you have
It was one hell of an answer. Well, you said you still didn't grow up. Would you want to?
I don't even know what that means. I don't know really what that means. But, you know, there's certain benchmarks. I mean, so wife and kids and 401k plan for the Americans, the pension. I mean, I don't have any of that. So by those parameters, I live basically like a PhD student. I go from project to project. I live on a very humble stipend and I'm free. So in that respect, I don't think I've grown up. I would like to think that I've matured somewhat, but yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, it's all perspective, right? And definition, so. In some definitions, I think I have not yet grown up because I haven't hit these cultural or societal milestones. But I think in other ways, you know, I talk to some of my friends who have a nice job and a nice family and kids and wife and totally nice life, but I mean, they don't know who they are. And that's why they're having these midlife crises that I'm getting these phone calls from friends of mine saying, Aiden, what the hell's going on? Especially the ones I've known since, you know, we were growing up. You know, they're like, I'm in my 40s or 50s. I mean, I've done everything. You know, I've done everything to grow up, and I feel completely unaware of who I am, what the hell am I doing, how I got here. And I mean, if you're that ungrounded, of course you have no idea of the future, and you realize that you're completely clueless of it. You know, you have no control over it. And because, you know, when you're young, you think, oh, I'm Superman and I'll live forever. So that's a good guiding force to jump headlong into the future. But so in that respect, I think I'm somewhat mature. I've been through a lot of things. I've seen a lot of things. I've learned about a lot of things. I've had a lot of time to think about those things. I've had the incredible luxury not to have certain pressures so that I could think and ponder and integrate and synthesize and kind of, you know, let it imbue itself into me. So in that respect, perhaps I've matured. But in terms of society, I mean, everyone's like, Aiden, where do you live? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I've learned to fit into society. So when someone says, Aiden, where are you going next month? I'll give them some place just so I sound normal, but I mean, I have no ticket. I don't know if I'm actually going there, you know. So I've learned how to fake it a little bit so I can, again, you adapt, you know. When I'm with tribal people, no one asks me where I'm going next week. It's all about today, you know, and it's all about like, how are you feeling? And so I adapt and we talk about those things. And you know, when I'm here in the modern world, I have to talk about plans and schedules, and so I adapt, but I don't know. Because I could get a phone call or an inspiration, I either stay or I go.
I wonder if we shouldn't find a new definition of what grown up really means. And also, we are very fond of growing all the time, right? This is something that we all enjoy very much. I think more and more people are enjoying the growth rather than being grown up. So we might want to find a new definition. I think a lot of things you mentioned, they sound very grown up to me personally, like following values and being of service and being grateful. I think that's something that we learn over time, and it's not necessarily that children do this. So we have to grow into this at some point. And some people don't.
Yeah, I think when I was a kid, and I was very lucky, like Sunny's children, we grew up with adults all the time. I mean, we had our childhood friends, but we grew up very much in the adult world. And my mom introduced us like that, and people treated us like that. We were just young adults, even when we were kids, and 6 and 8. And so we would observe adults. And, you know, when you're young and you haven't had a lot of experience, most you're just feeling it. Like, hey, how do I feel around this person? How do I feel around that person? Of all these adults sitting in the room, which one catches my eye? And then, you know, we would think about, like, you know, why is that person good? Oh, I like the clothes, or I like their voice, or I like the way their mannerisms, or I just like the way they move through the room, and, you know, they have a nice energy about them. And so those are the things that I valued, and I tried to, I guess, in a way, emulate. Right? We're social creatures, so we mimic. And then I remember when I got older, when I was in my teens, and I could ask them a bit more, you know, like talking to Singa, I could ask them a bit more about their life and how they got to where they are now and stuff. I would start to hear these similar themes. Well, you know, it's just something I was passionate about. It's, you know, I took some chances. I screwed up a couple times, and that's why I'm here now and not where I originally thought when I was your age, I would say, a kid. And so, you know, I just thought that was a good way to invest my energies and my focus. You know, I did the stuff I was supposed to do. I went to college and I got good grades, and I, you know, I did all that. That was because I understand the culture I work in. But that wasn't the only thing that I invested myself in and moved in. So thank you. It seems like I'm getting there. Also, I mean, this is the Eastern Western kind of thing. You know, the Western thing is very much about accomplishments and like set points. Whereas, you know, Eastern and sort of indigenous cultures, it's all about process. Mm-hmm. And there's reincarnation. We'll go, I mean, who cares what your title is now? You've got seven more lives to go, you know? And so that always resonated with me that, you know, instead of sitting on our accomplishments, just be in the process, you know? And it's just, the accomplishments are nice, and I've been lucky to accomplish a few things, and I acknowledge them, and I understand their value in linear time and structured society, but as a person growing, they're just a blip in the overall journey. Growing in process. Because also, I mean, if you've been around long enough in life and you've had enough goals and you've failed in some of those goals and other goals appear, other achievements appear that you didn't even know were goals before you started, you realize life's more fluid, you know? And so don't be so hung up on some goal you made 3 years earlier. Just where are you 2 years into the process, 3 years into the process, you know? I mean, most of the things I try to achieve, I often tell people when they're on some big plan, you know, and this is kind of a Burning Man thing, that's a great testing ground for my friends when I go with them. I've been a few times to Burning Man. I love going with virgins, first timers, because I tell them every day, because, you know, most of my friends are Western and intellectual and successful and analytical. And so, you know, they have a schedule of what they're going to do today. You know, they're going to go see this DJ and then this art thing. And they want to go have this experience. And I always tell them every morning, I say, you know, if you get to where you thought you were going to go before you started, you totally failed. Completely failed. In the first couple days, they still try and stick on a pattern. But Burning Man and traveling in general, you know, it's all a new environment. So you're not in your usual patterns. You don't see the usual comfort zones and the usual invisible habits you have, right? And so it's just like new experiences all the time. And so, you know, you start walking through Barcelona your first time there, and you've got a museum here, and you're going to take a train there. Oh, but you miss the train and the museum's closed, but you come across this interesting music concert, and you come across this little art gallery and this nice person you had to talk to at the you know, food place, and life, you know? And so I try, I lean that way. I can sound grown up, but I'm always just in the process of growing. It's good that you mentioned that. This is the first time I've thought about it that way, so appreciate that.
Process of growing.
Yeah.
Nice.
I would have one more question. How do you look at money? Like, you did all those exciting things in your life. You traveled, you had those projects. Did you worry much about money, or how is your perspective on that?
That's an excellent question. We never, again, how you're raised, we were never really, we grew up definitely not rich, and at times difficult financially. But we always figured it out. It was never a stress in our family. And so, because also we, you know, it's also relative. Like, we spent all our summers in communist Europe. So we always saw like real struggle. I mean, no American can imagine what it's like growing up in communist Europe. And so when we looked around and we went to public school, so we had friends who were super poor on like government aid and stuff, and the whole spectrum to rich. And so we knew the worst poor people in America are nothing compared to what the kind of hardships you have in communist Europe. You will eat and have a house, but you don't have the freedom. Like there's no way to make your life better. So we were lucky that we had that perspective, and our house was never stressed about money. And we were never abject poor, but my mom was a waitress, and parents were divorced. Mom was a waitress. I mean, you know, if people tipped well that week, we ate better. If they didn't, we didn't. And so we lived in simple apartments. But one thing my mom always said was, we were never so poor to be cheap. Don't be a cheap person. And that doesn't have to come with the money, but just to give. You can always give. You can always give. Never be cheap. That's where we were shocked. Like, you know, from our perspective, some of these Americans were really rich. They're so cheap. They're cheap with their time. They're cheap with their resources. They're cheap with their, just astonishing. And then I've traveled around the world to, like, you know, war zones and disasters where people have literally lost everything but the shirt on their back. But they got a parcel of food, you sit down with them, and they break bread with you. Mm. You'll never forget that. Or, you know, you give them a couple of candies, and then they share with everybody, you know. You know, that might be the first thing they put in their mouth in 3 days. Mm. So those things you don't forget. But the money was never an issue in our family, not because we were rich, but because of the way we saw it. And also, you know, needs and wants. Like, you know, I didn't grow up rich. I'm not rich in my adult life. So we had to deal with limitations. And so what's important to me? Seeing the world. You know, it'd be nice to fly first class, but I don't need to fly first class. It'd be nice to stay in a nice hotel, but I don't need air con. And so, so I adjust so that I can do what's of value to me, and I make adjustments what's not so valuable to me. And I know those things, I know what's important. So, and I know that it's very important, and I'm very focused on it. So to sleep in a tiny little place in a corner for 3 days is no big deal if I'm making my way up Everest. You know, like, man, I want to do that since I was a kid. And so I don't care about. I'm getting an Everest. That's why you have to know what you're looking for. Because when it comes within vision, nothing will stop you. You know, you don't have the money, you're hungry, you're not sure what you're gonna say, oh, you're gonna make it, you know, to this music festival, whatever stage of life you're in. And so money was never an issue. We also, because we weren't rich, and we would barter a lot. And, you know, I mean, I think I'm fairly average. But, you know, I can help paint something, I can fix something, I could help cook in a kitchen, so I'll always be fine. And so, again, fears, like, I just don't have a fear of that stuff. But money is not a big deal. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so good to hear that. You know, most people are just looking at it different ways, and for them it's like the most important thing in life, right? To have money. But I also experienced that it always comes somehow, somewhere, and it might not be in form of money, but in form of energy.
Yeah, the resources you need will come, a roof over your head, a meal, a ride somewhere. Yeah. But also, I do realize, I mean, I know your family some, I don't know your family, but I assume, you know, we grew up similar. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm very well aware of the incredible amount of privileges that I was gifted with at birth. Mm-hmm. I didn't earn one of them. Mm-hmm. I didn't work one second of my life for them, right? I don't know how politically correct we're going to be, but white, male, passes straight. I am straight, but I also pass as straight. You know, passes Christian. Paid in dollars, US passport. I was born on this pile of dirt at this time in history. speak English, okay, third language, but eventually I got there. Those are all gifts that I did not earn. You know, that I have a, my mom's house I could stay at if I need to, here I could stay if I need to. I have a bunch of places I could stay. So roof over my head, I never had to worry about. I can always work, I have friends who have jobs, I can always say, hey,
FaceTime.
You know, I can do carpentry or help out somehow. I can cut fabric and earn some money. So that I don't worry about money is one, how I was raised, but also all of these gifts that I was given at birth. So I'm in an extremely privileged position not to worry about money. And it's not because I was rich or born rich or came from a famous family. It's because I was born with these basic stuff of being white, male, straight, American, English speaking, good family upbringing, I'm presentable, you know? I'm very well aware that that is a privilege that is, you know, 1% of the planet. And so my laissez-faire thing with money is in large part because of that. I know that. And I haven't had to really test it, but I know, because I know people have not tested it, but have needed stuff and have come to our house because they got divorced or they lost their job and they need a place to stay for, you know, a few weeks to get on their feet or a car to borrow to go get jobs. And so, you know, I've been around it. And so, yeah, not worrying about money is partly how I was raised and partly how I was born. And both of them are extremely fortunate. I had nothing to do with it. Those are just gifts. And the more I travel within America, because I grew up in Chicago, public school, you know, you had people from all stratas of society. And then as I travel around the world, you know, I meet people in, you know, developing countries, and, you know, I landed in their country. The country gave me 3 months visa on arrival, and I can do whatever I want. Then they want to come to America? Forget about it. There's no way they're going to get a visa. No way. And not only are they not going to get a visa, but they're going to spend days and weeks preparing all the paperwork, all the bank statements, all the stuff, all their education, proof of employment, all that, then pay money to apply for the visa and then not get the visa. Mm-hmm. And I just land there and say, how you doing? They're like, enjoy our country, 3 months, go wherever you want, do whatever you want. And if something goes wrong in that country, because I've been in a few countries where things went wrong, I know I pull out that U.S. passport, somehow I take a taxi, a donkey, I run to a U.S. embassy or consulate, and I pull out that American passport, I say, Marine, U.S. citizen, come on in. Food's over there, shower's over there, bunks are over there, there'll be a chopper flying out of here in the morning. Man, money can't buy that. So that I don't have fears and I don't have worries, a lot of that I did not deserve. I did not earn. I was gifted that. And I realize that every single day. And that's why I take chances and I risk that stuff. You know, I'm willing to gamble because I know I got all that backup. Not so much for myself, but for other people, whether it's telling other people's stories or whatever it is. Yeah. I mean, you know, I talked to a bunch of my liberal white friends, and yeah, you know, I don't have to worry about stuff. And but they haven't really traveled. They grew up in these little bubbles wherever they grew up in America or Europe, and or Australia or New Zealand, and they don't realize most of their casual attitude about money and health and stuff is they didn't earn that. They were gifted that. And I, as kids going in communist Europe, I realized that every year. And spending most of my adult life in developing countries and in failed states and natural disasters, I have a front row seat to the chasm. I mean, it's like between planets large, between how I was raised and gifted and most people on this planet. So, yeah, I'm very lucky I don't have to worry about money. It ain't because I'm rich.
Thank you for giving back the way you do and using your gifts and your privileges. I think that's important. Well, I find it inspiring to hear that.
Yeah. So you're very
kind. Thank you for sharing this.
Thanks for asking the questions. Ah, my gosh. What, we got 3 questions in?
Yeah, stop here.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. And if you like this conversation and you find the podcast a little bit inspiring, then tell your friends about it. We will be happy to reach more people, and there is no subscribe button, so you just need to tell them to look up our website at volkenkeegan.com, and I know it's a difficult word, and then we can publish more interesting episodes and have more interesting conversations in the future, and we'll be happy to share these with you.